How are you? Last time when I came, it was early summer in the beginning, June. Now it's almost the end of it. If you miss it, in a few more days, the school will start. And do you all look forward to it?
No.
I know. All of us want life to be summer vacation, one season, right? Today I want to talk to you about something that is so pervasive in our society, in our lives. We all worry one time or another. The number one worry of the day in our society is what? Job security, right? The second may be national security. And then followed by all the worries of your own lives. Today I want to use this passage taken from the Sermon on the Mount that's spoken by Jesus Christ about live a life that is worry-free, live a life that is rooted deeply in the assurance and provision of God. So in verse 25, Jesus said, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life and other things." Since it says therefore, then we cannot just cut the scripture and start from there. So we have to look back, look earlier. And that's where we started, verse 19. Why do we worry? Why? Some of you may think worry is not all a bad thing. Worry prompts you for action. But that's not really what worry is all about. Worry is not a genuine concern of your future, of your education. Worry is an emotional response, an unproductive emotional response of uneasiness, of that nagging anxiety over something beyond your control. You feel something insecure. You cannot fully control it. And you worry about it. You have that uneasy and nagging sense of anxiety. That kind of worry. Why do we have that kind of worry? From this passage, we see three reasons why we worry. We worry about those things that will depreciate, will lose value because of a number of reasons. Jesus pointed out a few. He said, treasures on earth will moth and rust destroy. That's basically some sort of depreciation in value, right? And then will thieves break in and steal. That's a sudden loss of your fortune, your accumulated wealth. If somebody break in and steal, then you lose what your hard-earned wealth. And in these days, in the internet age, people can hack into your computer from afar, you know, in a basement, in a study room, and steal your account information and password, and do money transfer without your knowledge. So you could lose, so you worry, and that's why we have all this secure login, you know, secure login, https. That's secure login, and you have to give a password, and sometimes you have to give a special question in order to get in. Remember that some of those who are in financial industry know that very well. So we worry because some of those things we value greatly, they actually tend to lose value, and sometimes they have a sudden drop in value. Yesterday's report of the jobless rate in New Jersey is about 9.7%. That's about the national average right now. Almost 1 out of 10 workers are out of job. And last month alone, New Jersey lost 21,200 jobs. So job insecurity is the number one reason for our worry. And people of my age and about my age or older than I am, they also worry about their stock value and retirement savings. I occasionally check my retirement savings to see how it performs. I noticed in the prior years it very much goes going up, you know, in a wavy line, but more or less the big trend line is going up. And then a little over 2 years ago it tanked, right? It tanked an average of 50% depending on your portfolio, how you make up your mutual fund and other things. So the whole thing, if you look at it, you know, a couple of years ago, it was like an inverted V or inverted check mark. So it's losing value. And in the last year or two, and it slowly recovered. So the inverted V become an N. And now some economists, some people predict it's going to have a double dip recession, meaning before the first recession gets out of its trouble, we enter into a second phase of recession. So the N become a M. Money starts with the letter M. That's what money is. It's going to write the M. It's eventually going to lose its value in your lifetime. So we worry about those things. Did I worry? Naturally. I worked for 20 years. All of those savings for my retirement age, if it all of a sudden evaporates, you know, don't you worry a little bit? But then one time I was playing golf. Occasionally I play golf as a way of resting. And I noticed in the pine tree, don't know if I told you this story before, it bear two type of fruits, small types with different color, indicating different level of maturity. And then a bigger one, like a walnut size. I was so fascinated by one tree, pine tree, can bear two type of fruits, different size, different color. And it dawned on me that day, probably over a year ago, that God provides food for the birds, and for birds of different beak size. Those birds with a sharp, small beak size, they eat those tiny fruits, right? And God even color it. If it's red, it invites the birds, I'm mature, eat me. If it's green, it says, wait a little bit, man. And if it's the walnut size, God says, okay, so long as you have a big enough mouth to grab it, then go ahead and eat it. And then I noticed the tree has different height. Ever noticed that? Tree is taller than you most of the time. Not like strawberry, you know, growing on the ground. And then different layers, different heights. I was wondering, wow, God was so good. God is so good to animals. Those deers, despite the elongated, you know, neck, it cannot grab fruit too tall, right? So they eat what's the low-hanging fruits, relatively low-hanging. And then for the higher-hanging fruits, those are for the birds, small beak or large beak size. So that day, all of a sudden it dawned on me, everything we eat, three meals a day, did you notice that? Three meals a day, that's a lot. We eat three meals a day. And all of those came from where? Came from God's ultimate provision, right? Did I tell you the biology lesson of photosynthesis? Every type of food ultimately is traced back to photosynthesis. So despite all the turmoils in Wall Street, in economy everywhere, the very essential thing for life is never prepared because of human wisdom. We may have to labor a little bit. You know, the garden in our backyard, this year we gave it a Sabbath rest, a year of Sabbath. Why? Because my parent-in-laws, my father-in-law had a surgery, prostate cancer surgery, so he was pretty weak. And we decided, okay, since the youth to plant the garden, and now because of his sickness, we say, okay, let's have a year of rest. Give the land a year of rest. But so we may have to work, we may have to labor a little bit, but the seed you sow, we did not create it. And even after we sow it, you may have to water a little bit, but most of the time, who waters it? God, through the rain, right? Yesterday, my wife looked at the bamboo forest in our backyard. That's about the only thing I reconstructed, the piece of land I own. If you look at from Google Earth, you can see the bamboo forest. Probably well over 100 of them, bamboos. It started from 305. And my wife said, oh, the bamboo look very frail and the leaves are not that green. So she suggested I water them. So I spent a good 10 minutes to water the bamboos. But then, little did I know what happened last night. It rained. And it rained not just 10 minutes, probably hours in my sleep. So who even takes care of the plants and other things? God. The food, the drink, everything ultimately comes from God. So once I know that, I say, even if all the savings evaporate, the fruits are still there, right? And you may wonder, but if you don't work, you don't earn money, how do you buy things from the price club or other stores? Don't worry. By the time everybody lost their fortune, no one needs to use anything, to spend any money, because no one has any money, including the one who harvests. So we have to share it. We may have to become farmers. You know, all the engineers, all street type, they may have to roll up their sleeves and sow the seed, water it, and eat from their own labor, which is much more sweet than just buying from the supermarket. You understand what I say once you plant your own garden. Anyway, so we worry about all those things that lose value, but then keep in mind, everything ultimately comes from God. He is the ultimate supplier. Another reason we worry is because we lack proper focus. We are not single-minded. We try to please everyone. Jesus said, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. But not all of us are like that. Sometimes we are very unfocused. We try to do this, we try to do that. At the beginning of the summer, I asked my son, this is a good summer for you to do a lot of good readings. And I understand he, like every other boy, likes games and fun and parties, right? But I told him, you need to pick up the book and read a few things. So I suggested a few books, including A Brief History of Time. Lo and behold, in his Facebook, he wrote one of his favorite books is A Brief History of Time. I said, oh, I was so glad I suggested that book to him to read. I said, you're going to study physics? You may want to get a little primer, a very good primer about physics by reading Steve Hawkins, the first and foremost physicist of the day, his book, A Brief History of Time. Sometimes we lack those focus. We want to please everyone. We want to do many things. We are unfocused. That gives us a lot of worry because we cannot do any of them well. No one can gain this world and the world to come. Everybody, you know, if you have a choice, choice A, gain this world and the world to come. Choice B, lose this world and gain the world to come. Choice C, lose both worlds. And we know some people will choose choice C. And there's a D, gain this world and lose the world to come. And Jesus said clearly, If you gain the whole world yet forfeit your own soul, what good is that? Our choice should be whatever happens to this world, gain the world to come. That's our focus. That's our ultimate focus. Even if you gain a little bit here in this world, you accumulate great material wealth. You are very successful. But then that left you little time to serve God and seek His kingdom and His righteousness. That's not a wise choice. So that's the second reason why we worry. We don't have a clear God-minded focus. Third, in verse 30, Jesus said, "O you of little faith." And Jesus was using everyday example. Look at the birds, look at the flowers. They did not do the work, but God still clothed them. God still feed them, feed the birds and clothed the flower. And Jesus said, "Oh, you of little faith." So the third reason, the root reason of worrying is because we have very little faith in God who really provides all our needs. We have little faith in this God who is the creator, the sustainer of life, all life. That's the third reason and the foremost reason for our worry. And now Jesus did not mention all those reasons for the worry, but he also teaches us not to worry, and he gives good reasons for it. The first reason is it is unworthy to worry for the worthless. Sometimes we worry for nothing. We worry for things that are of little value. We worry for things that have very temporary value. And Jesus said, "Do not store up treasure on earth, because it's going to go. It's going to go away. It's going to lose value." So it's unwise to worry about those things that have very little value, a value that doesn't last long, that doesn't count in eternity. That's the first lesson he told us. Not to worry because it's just simply unworthy your emotional distress, your emotional anxiety, to worry about things that doesn't have lasting value. Second, it is unnecessary to worry for the non-essential. What we often consider essential in our lives are really secondary to our lives, such as food, drink, clothing. Those are secondary to our lives. Those are not the most important things. The most important thing to know is that God is the sustainer of life. He supplies everything for us. He is the source of the sustenance. And we worry about the means. We worry about the things that God ultimately will supply us. And what we should redirect our attention is to God who supplies, not to the things that God supplies, and we worry too much over the things. Oh, is God supplying this? Is God supplying that? God will. God does. It is unnecessary to worry for the non-essential. And Jesus used examples of food and drink and clothes. He said, "Do not worry about those things. God provides, even for birds." Even for flowers, how much more valuable you are than birds or flowers. Of course God cares about you. Third, it is unhelpful to worry for worry's own sake. Because Jesus said, "Who of you," verse 27, "by worrying can add a single hour to his life?" Another translation is, "Who of you by worrying can add a single cubit to his height?" A couple years ago, My wife and I were a little concerned, maybe a little worrisome for our son, Samuel, because he was of a little stature, you know, not that tall, and whenever he played in the band, ensemble, wind ensemble, when we look at the group picture, we can easily spot where he is, because you look at the group picture, you know, I don't know, 50, 60 people, and there he is, the shortest. So we were a little concerned. Okay, is he getting enough nutrients? Is his growth hormone level right? And little did we know, God has his time. When the growth hormone kicks in the last year or two, and then all of a sudden he grows even taller than I am. So, you know, we sometimes worry really for nothing. We worry for things that things has its own natural course. Seriously, it has natural course. And we worry for the things that's not even worth our worry. It's not worth it. So who by worrying can add a single hour to his life or a single cubit to his height? None. Worry become a very unproductive emotion to all of us. Okay, so he says, unworthy, unnecessary, unhelpful to worry about anything. But Jesus did not stop there. And he teaches us how not to worry. Not just why not to worry, but how not to worry. In the passage, verse 22, he said, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. What is Jesus talking about? He's talking about that right perspective, your vision, your sight in your heart. He warns, but if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Jesus was talking about our right perspective about life. In business, we talk about the Z to A plan. How do you go from A to Z? Unless you know where your Z is, right? Purpose driven. Unless you know your end outcome is. You don't know how to get from A to Z. So that's the Z to A plan. Just yesterday, one of the golf buddies said he was a truck driver. You know, he played with me and my colleague. Both of us had our PhD in life science and doing drug research. And he said he dropped out of college and he drove truck for 30 years. Next Friday is his last day. He will retire. And then he said, after we asked him, what are you going to do with after retirement? He said a few things he's going to do. And then he said about his wife. His wife is going to have her plan and worrying about this house needs to be fixed, window here, you know, floor there. And then he said, that's the end of our play. He said, one should not really worry about those things, those little things. One should worry about things that count on your deathbed. Well, I thought that's wisdom. You know, after a whole 3-hour play, he has some wisdom. He said, one should worry about those things that you are concerned with at your own deathbed. You will never be concerned with about a broken window or some shabby floor or an old car. You will never worry about that. You worry about where I'm going. So that's the Z. And you have to line up your life with the Z, the end outcome. What's our end outcome? Our end outcome is nowhere other than the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. That's the, in verse 33, Jesus says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. That's the ultimate outcome for us. The ultimate place we need to go. And we plan everything in life around that. And that's our ultimate destination. We plan everything around it. So have the right perspective. Don't lose sight. People who worry a lot, they're like flies flying aimlessly. Even flies have the destination. Destiny, you know what the destiny is? Food. Anywhere food is, that smells good. That's where the destiny is. So they running around like a headless fly, but they have a clear purpose. So we need to, people who worry a lot don't have, they don't have a firm, final destiny. But we are a people of destiny. Our destiny is in God, in Christ. Second, one cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and money or wealth. We have to set our priorities straight. Serve God, not material wealth. Seek His kingdom and His righteousness with that undivided, single-minded focus on God and His kingdom. If you have not been a born-again believer, then it's your first and foremost priority to set that straight, to seek His righteousness that's not found anywhere other than in Christ Jesus. So set your life's journey in the right direction. That should be our first and highest priority in life, to have a living faith in Christ, and then to live the whole life for His sake, and make this life count in eternity. How do we do that? We have that goal, ultimate glorious goal. How do we do that from here on towards that destiny? And Jesus said, do not store up treasures on earth, but what? Store up for yourself treasures in heaven. Jesus is connecting dots between A and Z. You are here at A, point A, and your ultimate destiny is in Z, kingdom of God. How do you go from here to there? Do not store up treasures on earth, but store up treasures in heaven. There is a transaction. There is a transaction. One of the five murders missionaries in the early 50s in Central America said this: he is not a fool who use what cannot be kept to trade for or to get what cannot be lost. He is not a fool who trade what cannot be kept for what cannot be lost. What cannot be lost is treasure in heaven. What cannot be kept is treasure on earth. So what do? You store up treasures in heaven. So you constantly ask yourself, am I storing treasures in heaven? How do you do that? My advice is, do not be a mere consumer of God's grace, but a sharer and giver of His grace. One time I was teaching my children and said, you guys love reading. Do not just be a consumer of books. A consumer of books loves reading, a bookworm. But be a producer of books. Someday be an author of books. Provide things for people to read. Don't just settle with the, I'm a happy consumer. I love reading, I love books, I love games. Don't just be a consumer, but create things that for other people. So giving up, in essence, is storing up. That's the transaction between treasure on earth and treasure in heaven. Giving up is storing up. Giving up here, treasures on earth, is storing up treasures in heaven. And in recent days, we read from the news that Warren Buffett and Bill Gates, the two foremost billionaires, richest people in the U.S. and in the world, they started a movement called Pledge of Charity. They personally invited up to now about 80, 90 billionaires of this country to pledge donating at least 50% up to 100% of the material wealth to the society for charity use. And next few months they're going to go to China and mobilize China's new billionaires, many scores of them, over 100 probably now, to do the same. That is a very, very commendable thing to do, because that is basically to trade what is accumulated here, the wealth on earth, treasures on earth, and store up treasures in heaven. A lot of people who are doing this, they are not doing this for its own sake. They are doing it because they are driven by this biblical value of sharing what you have with those who lack, who don't have. That's the second point. Serve God and seek His kingdom and His righteousness. The transaction of wealth, of treasure. You too need to do that. Lastly, live one day at a time. Jesus said in the last verse, "Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." One of the secrets to live a life, worry-free life, is to live one day at a time. You know, we worry things far down the road, beyond our control. And we tend not to believe God will guide us throughout our life's journey. And Jesus said, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has its own troubles. But live one day at a time. And because God knows our needs, He supplies our daily bread. Remember the Lord's Prayer ahead of this passage? It says, give us today our daily bread. Give us today our daily bread. The prayer did not say, give us bread for the next 25 years. You know, a couple days ago I accompanied my wife to visit Christ Club to buy a few things. We went to the bread section. And then when I look at the bread, I say, I wish the bread are fresh. That's the point. It clicked to me. I wish bread are fresh. Why? You don't want bread. God, give me bread for the next 20 or 50 years. The bread by the seventh day probably is not good enough, right? God doesn't give you bread for the next 50 years. He gave you your daily bread, your daily necessity, your daily livelihood. And He knows our needs, and He's more than happy to give it to us. Just like we read from the Psalm 145:16, right? Everything comes from God's hand, and He satisfies every living thing. Once you do that, you have the right vision, you know your destiny, and you're willing to serve God and seek His kingdom and His righteousness, and do the transaction. Giving up is storing up. And then live one day at a time in living faith that God will guide you every day, every step of the way, every season of your life. When you are a student, don't worry about when you become an adult, working adult. Because being a working adult for 20 years, I know what kind of trouble you're going to go through. Be happy where you are. And you are single, don't worry about the marriage life. Because marriage life can be a real testing ground for your maturity and character. And while you are not at it, try to mature as much as you can while you're single. While you're working adult, don't worry too much about post-retirement living. Some people worry too much about post-retirement living. And what they do is, I want to store up treasures for my retirement days. Don't worry about it. You will be okay. God will see to it. You will be okay. Let us pray. Lord, we come before You this day. Help us to have that solid living faith in you. You are the creator and supplier of all life. We pray that we have that simple, single-minded focus and trust that you will supply all of our needs. And we should cast every burden, every worry before you and live a life that is not bothered by that insecure, anxious feeling. Help us to say goodbye to insecurity today and forever. In Jesus' name, Amen.